Have you heard of the Plot Manuscript? It's 330 pages, an overview of the entire Bible. People who have read it have said it's helped them understand and enjoy the Word of God. Hi, this is Bob Enyar. I wrote the Plot years ago. We sell it at a money-back guarantee, $49.95 plus shipping and handling. And if you don't feel that you really understand the Bible now, we want to give you your money back. So go online to order it at kgov.com or call us at 800-8-ENYAR. That's 1-800-836-9278. To the brightest audience in the country, welcome to Bob Enyart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. A listener emailed and said, Bob, here is Donald Trump's plan for Baltimore. Here's the liberal plan. What would the biblical plan be? How do you restore a city that's been destroyed? And so that's a great question. So I'll read that email, and in the next couple weeks, hopefully, we'll address that. Also, we have the Islamic terrorist, the one who planned 9/11 along with Osama bin Laden, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. He's trying to get out of the death penalty. I thought he wanted 70 virgins. What's with this guy? He's trying to get out of the death penalty, and he's offered to help the victims of the 9/11 attacks in their lawsuit against Saudi Arabia. So we need to talk through that, and of course, the biblical support for the death penalty, how he should be put to death. He should have been swiftly put to death. But at any rate, there should be no deal, and he should be executed. It's too late to execute him swiftly as God commands. But you could do it swiftly as of this point. You know how somebody says, well, to make a long story short, and you say, it's too late for that. Well, it's too late to swiftly execute Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, but he needs to be put to death. So we'll talk a bit about that and Islamic terror and the Denver connection to 9/11. The Denver connection is so devastating and completely overlooked by the mainstream media. We also have the Federal Reserve today. A lot of right-wingers hate the Federal Reserve. They think it's a big conspiracy. We have an article on money, kgov.com/money. Today, they're supposed to cut the rate by 0.25%. I've been in the studio here working on other things, so I want to talk a bit about that. But first, there is a Bible verse in Amos. Now, this Bible verse, just in passing, there's an incidental statement that the Philistines, remember the Philistines, Goliath, David, killed Goliath. The Philistines, they lived in what today is the Gaza Strip, the five main cities of the Philistines on the Mediterranean coast there. It says that the Philistines came from Kaphtor, the island of Crete, the largest island in the Mediterranean. So that's not a major theme in the Old Testament. It's just a very brief detail in the book of Amos, chapter 9, verse 7. It turns out while the atheist, the materialist, the secularist, the mockers disparage the Bible at every turn and on every issue, I could not get the editor of Scientific American, Michael Shermer, to agree with me that the Bible was right on page one when it said the sun is a light. The sun is not a god, it's a light. It's on YouTube. You could see it, hear it. The sun is a light. And Moses wrote in Deuteronomy, Moses, the author of Genesis, also wrote, don't worship the host of heaven, the sun, the moon, and the stars. So don't worship the sun. It's not a god. It's a light. Page one of the Bible says it's a light. You think you could get an atheist to agree that at least on that one point, the Bible's right? Well, I couldn't get Michael Shermer, the founder of the U.S. Skeptic Society. I couldn't get him to agree on that one point, and that's because of fear. They have this intuitive sense that if they acknowledge in any part the truth of the Bible, it will become a torrent that will drown their doubts. And so they can't stand to consider that. They're afraid of that possibility. So when you come to a book like Amos, in chapter 9, verse 7, it says that the Philistines came from Kaphtor. So you know what researchers did just this year, 2019? So exciting. They sequenced the genomes, or at least parts of the genomes, of Philistines who were buried in the Gaza Strip. This made worldwide news, archaeological news. Benjamin Netanyahu was all excited about this. I'm excited about it. It made worldwide news that the Philistines came from Crete. And Crete, in ancient geography, is Kaphtor. So the Philistines came from Kaphtor. Here's what God says. He says, "Are you not like the people of Ethiopia to me, O children of Israel, says the Lord?" In other words, they're sinning, right? This chapter is about the destruction of Israel and all the nations round about that were enemies of God. And Israel, though they were God's people in a corporate relationship with him, a covenant relationship with him, they became enemies of the Lord. It's even said in the New Testament that the elect became enemies of the gospel. And some of the chosen kings that God chose to rule forever went to hell. Many of the chosen priests whom God chose to minister to him forever, as he said, many of them went to hell. Most of the chosen people went to hell. And so God's saying to Israel, "Are you not like the people of Ethiopia to me, O children of Israel, says the Lord? Did I not bring up Israel from the land of Egypt, the Philistines from Kaphtor?" Now think about that. Here's a line. Talk about an incidental detail, right? This isn't a major theme in the Bible. It's not part of the plot of the scriptures. It's a detail. It's a tiny detail in a small book in one chapter buried in the Old Testament. Amos chapter 9, verse 7. The Philistines from Kaphtor. And that is an ancient name for the island of Crete. So for geneticists today to dig up skeletons from the right period in history, from the right, was it Ashkelon, from the right town, then sequence their DNA and report that they came from Crete. Do you realize the significance of that? Where the Christian has been saying, the Christian apologist, as we have on the radio for 28 years, that the Bible is God's word, the Bible is reliable, the Bible is true. So God filled it with 1,000 details, historical details, geographical, economic details, cultural, contractual, so many ways that thousands of years later we can corroborate the details of the Bible. And if the Bible is false, if its story, the plot, the historical narrative, if it were false, like the Book of Mormon is false, right? American Indians, Native Americans, Incas, Aztecs, Navajo, they're not Jews. The Book of Mormon claims that some of the Jews left Israel and sailed across the Atlantic about 3,000 years ago and populated the Americas. That's false. And because the historical narrative of the Book of Mormon is false, it then follows that its message is false. So a book could be historically accurate and yet have a message that's not valid. But the Bible, as the evangelist Luke put it, through many infallible proofs, demonstrates to us its veracity, that it is God's word, it is reliable.
Hi, my name is Joe Scott. I've been a pro-life sidewalk counselor outside of abortion mills for the past 27 years, and I've seen hundreds of moms change their mind, and scores of them have trusted in Christ. Every day I'm confronted by people with accusations and questions about God. So my understanding of the Bible needs to be accurate and defensible. One of the most valuable tools in my ministry is Bob Enyart's manuscript, The Plot. Although I was educated in theology, I didn't quite understand how to rightly divide the word of truth. After reading The Plot, questions that I had for years were answered, and that in turn made me a more effective witness on the street. I would strongly recommend The Plot to anyone who has a real desire to represent God's word responsibly and accurately to our lost and dying world. I'm hoping that you will order The Plot online at kgov.com. That's kgov.com. Or by calling 1-800-8-ENYARD. That's 1-800-836-9278. 800-836-9278. Thank you.
Having yet another detail in the Bible corroborated by modern science that the Philistines, they're from the island of Crete, the largest island in the Mediterranean. When we look at current events, like the current controversy over the city of Baltimore, when we look at that, we could realize that only a biblical solution is the real solution. So here's an email from Dave from Utah. Bob, the city of Baltimore has been a hot political topic for the past few days with President Trump, Representative Elijah Cummings, and a bunch of talking heads, none of whom have given a solid plan on how to help Baltimore out of its dilapidation. So Baltimore, Dave writes, just like Detroit, New Orleans, Oakland, Newark, Cleveland, and so on, is saturated in murder, theft, drug dealing, single mothers, etc., at an epidemic proportion. And I like that he wrote single mothers in there. Single mothers, it's a beautiful thing to be a mom, and you may have a husband who got killed in Afghanistan. You're a single mom. It's a wonderful thing. As an epidemic, single motherhood is one of the greatest detriments to your children. As an epidemic, and we do have an epidemic. What is it now? We just did a YouTube video, if you haven't seen it. An angry woman calls Bob and Doug racist Trump supporters. Did you see that YouTube video? Just go to our website, kgov.com, click on our YouTube channel right there. You'll see the video. If you can't find it, kgov.com/prayforher. Pray for her. Pray-for-her. And you'll see the video. And this gal, as angry as could be, accusing me and Doug and a trucker friend of ours, Josh, of being racist and Trump supporters. Which accusation is worse? So then during the YouTube video, it's only a few minutes long, and you see this gal on video yelling, cussing as filthy mouth as could be, in the parking lot of a restaurant. We put up a chart that shows the children born to single mothers in the U.S. And we put, you know, whites and Hispanics and blacks. And in the black community, it's a crisis of epidemic proportion, as Dave just said. So Dave's email goes on about Baltimore. He says, Trump's solution: make the economy better so there will be plenty of jobs. And I think Dave, his point here is that's probably not the solution. Baltimore has had a liberal Democrat mayor for, what, half a century now? You know that the economy has been better and worse over the last half century. And Baltimore has just been in a steady decline, regardless. the Trump solution, plenty of jobs. And when you're in a country where there's moral decadence, does adding more jobs address the problem? Adding more jobs. Like our government schools and how immoral they are, the wickedness that they promote through their curriculum. If the GPA, the grade point average of students, increased 2%, does that mean, oh, now the government schools are better? No, it doesn't mean that at all. You could have much brighter, terribly immoral people, and their improved education might make them more effective at being evil, but it's not a fundamental improvement to the situation. And then Dave lists the liberal solution: more taxpayers' money for public schools, more police on the street, ban on guns, more housing, and free food for the homeless. And he puts for vagrants. So more police on the street. That makes me think of one of the primary errors of today's criminal justice system, where they try to make it so that people cannot commit crime instead of so that they won't commit crime. Deterrence is the ultimate solution to a crime epidemic. And look at school shootings. And every time there is another, tragically, you hear the conservatives, even the Christians, Republican talking heads, that we need metal detectors, we need more school security guards, we need more police officers in the schools. And I think about the shooting this weekend in California at the Garlic Festival. They had metal detectors there. They had serious security. You had to pass through the security. They had 100,000 people there over the few days of the festival. So somebody wants to go in and kill people. He doesn't go through the security. He just goes around the side and goes through the fence. And so students, I went to 4 years of a public high school. What a waste of life. And if you think that a student cannot figure out how to get a gun into the school other than going through the front door, you're part of the problem. If you think that a student who wants to kill other students can't figure out how to get a gun into the school, how foolish that is. And the Garlic Festival murders, the mass shooting, showed us another illustration of that. Human beings are creative and resourceful. And so if you focus on making it so that people can't commit crime, you're going to fail. You need to focus on making it so that people won't commit crime. So the liberal solution, like more police on the streets and all, banning guns, it falls into that category of trying to make it so that people can't commit crimes. So Dave asks, Bob, could you do a radio program with bullets on how to turn Baltimore into the great, historic, safe city that it once was, using Christian principles of law, justice, and tough love? God bless, Dave from Utah. So, okay, do we have one of our producers in the back room there? Who's back there? Could you add this to our list of upcoming shows? Baltimore, how to fix Baltimore? All right, that'll be an awesome show. Thank you, Dave, for that suggestion. Now, here's why it's difficult. Here's why it will be difficult to accomplish that. It's relatively easy to turn an aquarium into fish stew. Do you have an aquarium at your house? Have you ever had one 10-gallon fish tank? Relatively easy to turn an aquarium into fish stew. Just put some Bunsen burners under it, and you'll have fish stew. It's much harder to then turn it back into an aquarium. How do you do that? So you take a city, you take a nation of hundreds of thousands or millions of people, and you destroy any semblance of equitable economics, and you impose a welfare, a socialist economy on that city, and now you want to turn it back to where there's freedom and justice. Wow. It's a challenge, but of course, it's what should be done. And when conservatives, out of frustration, they don't know the biblical model of what God would have us do. So they just say, hire more security guards. Put metal detectors in the entrance to the school. Right? That's frustration. Let's have term limits for politicians. These are not fundamental moral principles that will help us govern a just society. This is just make work. It's not all that different from the Democrats who just want to throw money at problems and it doesn't work. Republicans often do slightly different. A Republican is a Democrat from 20 years ago. Just remember that. A Republican is a Democrat from 20 years ago. A conservative is a Republican trying to save a social program established by a liberal. Now, to Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who's not dead yet. He's not dead yet. He should have been put to death years ago. He is one of the top two planners for the 9/11 terrorist attack, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. And he's been sentenced to death, and he's supposed to be executed at Guantanamo Bay, although he's still alive. So there is a lawsuit by victims of 9/11, and they're suing Saudi Arabia appropriately for its role, to whatever degree it was involved, in the 9/11 terrorist attacks. Now, here in Colorado, we have a horrific connection to Islamic terror, even to 9/11, and that's the Denver Islamic Society on South Birch Street. Have you ever driven by it? Have you ever visited? We went there to share the gospel with a couple of their imams, and word got out we were going. And so who joins us but the local police? And then we had some FBI agents there, and then Homeland Security. I mean, it was a virtual conference. It was a valuable time in that we were able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with these Muslims. The Denver Islamic Society there on South Birch, it was founded by a terrorist who's currently in federal prison. He was convicted of raping an underage girl, an Indonesian girl, whom he purchased in Saudi Arabia. And he brought here. His name is Hamadine Al-Turki. Just call him Turkey or Al-Turki. He purchased this girl in Saudi Arabia. She was rescued by local law enforcement when they found her chained to the water heater in this imam's basement. He's the founder of the Denver Islamic Society. How's that? Talk about being dissed. Now, that rapist imam widely promoted another diss terrorist imam, Denver Islamic Society terrorist. And you could read about him in the Denver Post, this terrorist Anwar al-Awlaki. He was killed by a U.S. drone strike in Yemen. Now, the media, the mainstream media, they report these things, but it's almost as though they report them begrudgingly, while they fall over backwards saying, but Islam is a religion of peace, and Islam is a religion of tolerance. Islam is a religion of peace and tolerance? Where? I mean, where? That's one response to that question when you hear somebody say that. Islam is a religion of peace? Where? Right? Saudi Arabia, Iran, and other Islamic countries have laws that call for the death penalty. Let's say you're a Muslim and you convert to Christianity. Well, the law says that you can be put to death. Some have the death penalty if you denigrate Muhammad. Muhammad, he's just a man. You denigrate him, you could be put to death. The Denver Post, with the media generally, they assure us that Islam is a religion of tolerance. But if it's a religion of tolerance, then how many synagogues are there in Mecca? I mean, that's a 500-square-mile city of 1 million people. How many synagogues? There are none? That doesn't sound too tolerant. How about the entire country of Saudi Arabia? Big country. How many churches are there in the entire country of Saudi Arabia? Oh, none? None? Is it really none? So Islam is a religion of tolerance? You know, Christians, they like to put churches everywhere. You got a hill, they want to put a church on it. So no churches in the whole country of Saudi Arabia? Even if the government were to allow it, the Muslims would destroy it. In Saudi Arabia, I mean, Mecca is the Mecca of Islam, so to speak. Right, Rome, we just went to Rome last fall, our Bible tour of Italy. There is the great synagogue of Rome. There's the mosque of Rome, right? So Islam, no, it's not a religion of peace. It's not a religion of tolerance. In fact, CBS News reported, this was a study by the Liberal Council on Foreign Relations. How many people were killed by Muslim terrorists in 1 year? Killed in the name of Allah? 42,000 people in the world killed. There's over 120 violent Islamist groups operating in 66 countries around the world. They murdered in Allah's name in 1 year 42,000 people. And that's not counting Syria, because Syria is insane right now with Muslims killing Muslims. They said if you count Syria, you double that number. And since 9/11, 35,400 deadly Muslim terrorist attacks. Since 9/11, 35,000 deadly Muslim terrorist attacks. You could look at the list. Just go to kgov.com/terror. So Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, he should be put to death. Right? The Bible in the New Testament overwhelmingly affirms the death penalty. Jesus affirms the death penalty. The Apostle Paul affirms the death penalty. The Gospels affirm the death penalty. The book of Acts, the book of Hebrews, the book of Revelation. Paul says, if I've committed a crime worthy of death, I do not object to dying. He says that the governing authorities have authority from God to execute the criminal with vengeance, wrath, and terror, and they use the sword to do it. You don't flog somebody with a sword, you execute them with a sword. So the New Testament extensively supports the death penalty, but just like our superfluous list of Christian leaders going gay, supporting homosexuality, so many simply are unaware of the Bible as God's word, speaking to the important issues of our day. Hey, this is Bob Enyart. May God bless you.
Hi, this is Bob Enyart. If you'd like to hear more, then you could subscribe to our Bob Enyart Live Bible Studies, our monthly videos, our sermons. For the Bible Studies, you get an entire MP3 CD for $34.95 a month. Or you could get our videos or sermons every month mailed to you for just $24.95 a month. To subscribe, please call 800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. That's 800-836-9278. Or you could subscribe online at kgov.com. So check us out on the web at kgov.com for Bob Enyart Live.